Welcome back to the Kicks and Picks podcast. All of us are here tonight to break down the weekend in the Premier League and Serie A. Premier League in the middle of a midweek match week, finishing up tomorrow with Fulham, Brighton, Bournemouth, Tottenham. But prior to that, today and yesterday, we had some interesting results with your boy Scotty Liverpool having to go to Newcastle, getting a 3-3 draw. A lot of goals for
a lot of goals.
Yeah, for that one. Arsenal, big 2-0 win over Man U. Villa getting right a little bit with a 3-1 win over Brentford. City finally getting right. So speaking of getting right, getting a win. First one in, what is it, like 6 or 7 matches?
Yeah, since October. They didn't win a game in November, just like Roma and Aston Villa.
Yeah, I mean, I've never thought I'd hear Roma mentioned in the same sentence as City since the last time we played in the Champions League, when Totti was like 38 years old. So I guess an honor, but the wrong kind of honor this time around. Everton beating Wolves 4-0. Two of those goals were own goals, right, Nick?
Own goals than Beto has all year for Everton. Yeah. So just needs to be stated.
Yep. You let that be known on Twitter. Leicester beat West Ham 3-1. Palace beating Ipswich on the road 1-0. And then tomorrow it's, like I said, Fulham, Brighton, and Bournemouth hosting Spurs. That's what's going to take us into the weekend. So when we kick off the weekend, Scotty, you're Liverpool's coming off that 3-3 draw. How do you feel about them going to Everton to play the Toffees in the Merseyside Derby, with Everton, I guess, kind of flying high, at least in their sense,
their
right? Coming off that 4-0 win.
I never feel good about playing Everton because they are the one team that will lay down for any of the other top six. But when it comes to Liverpool, it's their Super Bowl. And so no matter how bad they are, no matter how bad they are, they rally and they make this as miserable as possible. I'm even more upset about it because it's the early morning game on a Saturday, which is usually just a bad sign for all involved. There certainly won't be goals in that case. That's usually the trend. But a little bit nervous. I think what we saw against Newcastle today might see a little bit against Everton on Saturday is the ever so popular letdown games, right? You know, City or Liverpool coming off the back-to-back wins against Real Madrid and City, feeling really good about the season. Newcastle at home can be tricky. They drew City. I think they drew Arsenal, beat Tottenham, all at home so far this season. So they're a tough play at home. The crowd was really good, you know, as a Wednesday night crowd. We've seen them do that in Champions League when they were in the Champions League a couple seasons ago. And so now the question is, you know, how quickly can Liverpool kind of rally? Are their legs getting a little bit tired? It looked like the midfield was a little ragged. Gravenberch didn't have his best game. McAllister is going to be out for this game. Picked up a yellow, which is now a one-game suspension. So you'll probably see a midfield of Curtis Jones and Gravenberch and Szoboszlai, who's been good. Much better, you know, in the last couple of weeks. And then the defense, you know, the defense is hurt. Kanate's out. Bradley's out. Trent Alexander-Arnold's working his way back. Kelleher has been doing a good job as, you know, deputy keeper, but finally had his first big mistake today against Newcastle, just choosing to not clear a cross that he could have easily grabbed and went right to the back post for Shard up to put away and get the equalizer. So, you know, Liverpool are kind of, they're not in the fittest of shape, let's say, going into Saturday. But if you're Arsenal and City, you're allowed to complain about these injuries and how it's, you know, making your season so much harder. So I guess that'll be my excuse. But, you know, like I said, it's going to be a close game. I think looking at the history, Everton won their last matchup 2-0 back in April. Then it was Liverpool had a pretty good run of dominance there. Won three of the last or previous four before that. So should be Liverpool win. Would be a nice little bounce back, give them a little bit of a break. But, you know, it's almost never this easy in these derbies.
Yeah. Yeah, and here's the interesting line I noticed, because I was looking at the past five matches, like you said, 4-2-0 wins, three of them for Liverpool, one for Everton that you just mentioned, the last matchup, and then a 0-0. So five straight under 2.5 matches, yet the over is trending at -160 right now. To me, I look at that and I'm like, under three is -135. Yes. That feels like the smart play, because these derby matches don't tend to go too high scoring, and it's one of those ones, I think if it does, you just kind of like take your loss and you take it for what it is, because when these teams play, the goals don't really flow.
Yeah. No, I agree, Coach. I have a lot of thoughts. that was going to be the pick that I gave out. So I absolutely agree with you. Minus three seems like a good one, a good bet for this game. Scotty, you mentioned it. I mean, they're kind of due for a letdown game, but is losing to or drawing Newcastle really a letdown? I mean, maybe. I don't know. You want to keep your foot on the gas. I understand that. Build up as many points as possible. But it seemed avoidable. That's the part that's upsetting, I would imagine, if I'm you. I think Poole did more than enough. You know, they put three goals in the back of the net. Salah, another dude that I mean, I've been kind of on my soapbox lately because I just feel like he's getting outrageously disrespected, you know.
And
listen, part of it is the echo chamber that is Twitter and social media, where, you know, you hear certain narratives and you hear about certain players, and I'm not trying to disrespect anybody, but you hear about Vinny Jr. all the time. You hear about Liao or Kavara if you're watching Serie A. You hear about all these guys, and Salah's like a goal involvement a game player for the past like 5 or 6 years. And it doesn't even matter who he's playing with. You know, anybody could argue, oh, he's playing Klopp as his manager and this, that, and the other thing. He's had a different starting 11 like every fucking game that he's ever played. And he just continues to really do the thing. So he's obviously not getting any younger, and he's still putting up these numbers. Three goal involvements today, leads the league in goals. So I feel like we got to give a little more respect to Mo Salah, first and foremost. Everton, you spoke about it, flying high. They scored four goals. I don't remember in the history of this podcast any time that they've scored four goals in a game. So we have to go back probably 3 or 4 years. Good for them. Wolves defense is probably the worst in the league. I think I'm ready to make that, you know, rubber stamp.
Worse than West Ham.
This kind of like a 180 from past season, right? The defense kind of has been what's gotten them through the past.
They have nine more goals allowed than West Ham. As bad as West Ham is, Wolves has nine more goals allowed.
Two of those are own goals scored by a former West Ham defender, Craig Dawson. Does that count for anything?
Whatever it is, he has more goals than Beto. But I agree. I think, sorry, I just had to go to my soapbox just a little bit there. I agree this does feel like a pool win. It does feel like a close game. Under three at minus 135 is a great play. I also wouldn't mind, and if I could find the correct score bands, I'm going to give that out. But if you wanted to take Liverpool correct score 1-0 plus 550 or Liverpool 2-0 plus 500, I think easily one of those two come in. I see this as a 1 or 2 goal Liverpool win.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, you know, we already talked about the under. That's where I'd lean, just because, like I said, early morning games, you know, Derby, it's a historical trend. I think it's all there for an easy bet. You know, can Everton get a goal right now? Like I said, Liverpool's defense is banged up. You know, Virgil's been playing really well. That's a good sign. Robertson has rebounded a little bit in the past couple weeks. He was having a pretty rough start to his season, so there's a little bit of promise there. But man, dude, do I trust Kwanzaa at right back right now? Not really. Do I trust Gomez? He's been doing pretty well, but there's, as we saw against Newcastle today, like they are not very press resistant. And you know, Derby with, you know, the home team's gonna be Everton. You get the crowd behind you and you start pressing, like those are guys that can make mistakes and can get you one of those cheap goals, and that's what happens. So that's the only thing I'd be concerned about in this one is Everton just getting like a mistake goal from Liverpool. But
and if you think that, I mean, 1-2, 1-3, 1-4 to Liverpool, you know, a home team to away team, it's +200. You know, if you think Everton get a goal and Liverpool win the game, that's not a bad way to approach it.
Yeah, wouldn't hate that either. No. Speaking of some other picks here, Salah's been, like you mentioned, automatic. Anytime goal scorer at plus 110, if Liverpool are scoring, he's going to be involved in some capacity. I don't know. I don't think they have. Yeah, they never have goal or assist yet. But that's another one that if you want to try making some parlays, that's probably where they're going to get their goals from. My guy Nunez, it needs to be talked about. I think he's kind of flown under the radar with just how bad he's been this season because Liverpool have been doing really, really well. He's got 3 goals, 2 assists in 18 games for Liverpool so far this season. That is one fewer than Diogo Jota, who has 4 goals, 2 assists, and Jota hasn't been available for like 2 months. So I think I'm hoping Nunez sits this one out. I don't think he gets the start after playing and starting today, but if he does start, then that is certainly a good under indicator, if there is such a thing. Otherwise, look for like a Diaz, Gakpo, Salah starting front three. And if that's the case, then I would definitely hit a Salah goal or assist prop in that case.
All right. I think we'll move on to the next one.
Yep. We'll see if Nick comes back in.
Yeah, he looks like he's frozen drinking his beverage there. good old Florida internet. So we have Bournemouth Spurs. Spurs plus 150 on the road here. What do you think of that, Scott? Like, that jumps out at me. I know Bournemouth hasn't been bad, but getting Spurs at plus 150.
You
could play him on the draw, no bet at a playable number.
That's tomorrow's game, though, right? That's what we're looking at. Not on the weekend. Spurs plays Bournemouth
the
tomorrow.
The ones I minimized, they bounce back. Sorry. Yes, all right. Yes. Palace City's the next one.
Yeah.
City minus 170 at Palace. Feels like they'll continue.
Yeah, I think this is time where you can start to get back on the City bandwagon. You know, Oaks, I listened to you guys, you and Leg earlier today. You guys said you didn't want to dive in on City right now. You thought it's time for them to turn around. I think we are catching them on that turnaround. Minus 170 on the money line. I know it's away. That seems very tempting. I think if you can layer in, you know, like an over in that, now that De Bruyne is starting, it seems like they're going to have a little bit of an uptick in offense. That one might be interesting. So Manchester City win in over 1.5 is minus 125. I think I'd lean towards that in this game. I think that those are two very easy outcomes for this. Oaks saying just minus 165 is worth the juice. That's fine too. But
I hate to say it. A City Arsenal parlay at plus 150 seems like the move.
Yeah, I mean, Arsenal's healthy now. We'll get to them in a second. They're healthy now. City finally starting their guys that make them City with De Bruyne coming back into the lineup. That's certainly a good omen for them. And this is usually the time of year where City start to figure things out, and then come January, they're just an automatic win. So, like I said, if you're going to try to get value on City, now is the time, because, you know, you wait 2 weeks, they're going to be back in the minus 200, 250 range again.
Big time, agree.
Yeah, today's winner is Newcastle, plus 140 at Brentford.
That's tough, man. That's,
Do they carry any of the mo from today's draw?
I don't understand them.
I think that's fair. They're very up and down. Their offense is definitely clicking better now that Isak is in form. I know Anthony Gordon played well today. I think that's because Liverpool are kind of his boyhood club, so he's got a little bit of extra motivation there. But if he plays like he played today, it's a really dynamic, forward line of at least two of the three. Even Jacob Murphy played pretty well today. He had a couple shots that just went wide. So, I can see Newcastle getting goals in this one. Trying to find
minus 115.
Is the over 1.5 is minus 115.
Going to call that one out. Yeah.
That feels pretty good. Brentford historically been an offensive team. I know we like the, both teams to score with them have been pretty good, in weeks past. So, but I'm guessing let's see game, both teams to score.
Because Brentford's just another team I can't figure out. Win, loss, draw. Win, loss, draw. Win,
they're just
loss,
goals. Draw. That's the thing.
Their entire form.
They're two teams that score with very mediocre defense. Like, their defense can show up, and then most of the time it doesn't. I guess my pick in this one would be Newcastle team total over 1.5, because, you know, both teams to score and the other totals are pretty much unplayable.
Yeah, I think the team total would be the play there. Can't trust them to win. Definitely see Brentford scoring, getting the draw, whatever. Villa, big favorites at home after their win today. Minus 245 hosting Southampton.
Villa. I want to believe in them again, but they've burned me a couple times now.
Their defense stinks.
It does stink,
and they're playing the lowest scoring team in the Premier League. That just got spanked. Southampton, yeah.
This game feels like a stay away game. To be honest with you, you're not going to put anything on Southampton. They're very bad. Yeah. But with the way that Aston Villa is playing, you're not going to like give up goals or take them. Even their team total is probably going to be something horrific.
Minus 260.
Yeah, there's nothing you can play at this one. If you really want to throw in like a goal or a shot prop and make a parlay out of somebody, go for it. Watkins is plus 110.
Here's what I'll say too.
Mid.
This of all the games feels like the trappiest to me. They have to be looking ahead to Champions League. I don't know who their opponent is, but I know they're right on the outside of that top eight.
So, I think they have Leipzig Yeah, they have Leipzig. They're going to Leipzig.
That's not easy at all. So I would.
Well, it's not that hard. Leipzig have been pretty bad this year.
Yeah, still to go away.
I think they're actually last place in the Champions League, right? Isn't that what we were looking at the other day?
I think they may be, yeah.
Literally like the last place team in Champions League. Yeah. So
still, to go away and you're right on the edge of that top eight, you got to be looking ahead to it just a little bit. Not saying Villa doesn't win, but certainly not laying any sort of juice or any spread with Villa this week. So nothing for me here.
Yeah. I think this, like I said, this is a stay away game. There's nothing, there's other better games to bet on at this time slot. This wouldn't be.
Agreed. The Saturday noon game, Man U hosting Forest. United at home minus 150 coming off the loss today. Yeah. Right. Lost today.
Oh yeah.
Yes. 2-0 loss. Yep.
Yes.
2-0.
And, Forest, you guys said no longer cooking, starting to be cooked.
Yeah,
not looking good.
What do you think about this one? Is this a bounce back for United against a struggling Forest side, or
it certainly feels that way? I don't want to give Amorim too much credit just yet. I think it's still early, but early signs are good. I don't think there's really any expectation for them to win at the Emirates today. That's a really hard match, even in the best of times, which United are not in. But yeah, Forest turning back into a pumpkin, it seems like. Their run has seemingly come to an end. On the road, at Old Trafford, that's going to be, excited about their new manager and in the way that he's kind of got them set up. I could see United getting a couple goals in this one. I know Morum's more known for his defensive prowess, but the attack has been playing much better, especially early on in the first half. So maybe look at I'm looking at that United to score in the first half. Where did it go? Minus 155. Yeah, even the books know this. I thought I was going to outsmart the books here.
Never.
I'll have to get a little creative in this one, Nick. I don't know if you have anything.
Our boy Juve Cornercast asked the question, our thoughts about United, and I think the jury's, way, way, way still out. I think that, I have to give him a lot of credit. I feel like he's at least trying different shit, and he's, gonna make something out of this United squad. What that is, I don't really know yet, but pretty bad result today. Like, I'm trying to think back of even a 5-10 minute interval where United looked good today, and I don't have it. I think they got pretty much outplayed from start to finish.
I'll be devil's advocate for United, even though I don't like it. I mean, their two goals that they conceded are off of set pieces. That's as much as that stinks, it's fixable.
No, and I'm not gonna say they gave up a ton, but they didn't really look like they were gonna score ever.
Yeah, but it's, I think that is a win for them. I think them just being solid defensively in possession and out of possession without, dead ball time is a positive for them. I think they looked pretty strong when Arsenal were driving forward. Saka and Odegaard create lots of chances. United dealt with them pretty well. I know Raya had a couple good saves, so credit to him. But I think that's all progress in moving forward. I think Yoro... was this his first start for them?
I don't playing. Remember seeing him really before this.
He looked pretty good. I think he's 19 years old. Yeah. So promising player there. I think things are looking up for United in general. It's just going to be, can they piece together some sort of consistent attack? Because Rashford will show up for 10 minutes and then be shit for the last 80 minutes. Xerxes and Hoyland are entirely dependent on the service that they get. Bruno Fernandes will help with that, but... outside of that, you're basically going to have games where you're going to struggle for, touches in the box. And that's just not going to be a recipe for success for them. So I think they have to develop a little bit more of an offensive attack, and then they'll start to see Amorim's true
prowess. Again, jury's still out. I think you hit the nail on the head. Forest have lost 3 out of their last 5. They are absolutely on the wrong trend line right now. United at home, I wouldn't mind United first half money line plus 120. I think that's a solid shout. Both teams to score. If you think Forest get on the score sheet at minus 130, I don't hate it. But yeah, United at home is going to be tough. So it's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, I think maybe, like you said, money line first half United is probably the best value there. Man, dude, I'm really upset that books kind of outsmarted me on that. I thought I had the United to score first half was going to be a great pick for me, but minus 155, can't really touch it.
All right. That brings us to the team that beat them today, Arsenal at Fulham. I heard Nick say earlier, Arsenal City parlay, Moneyline parlay,
yeah.
Both teams minus 170.
I mean, listen, Arsenal minus 170. Fulham, to me, they're another inconsistent team, right? What are they, like 5-5-5 or something like that? You know, they string a couple wins together, then they lose. They always seem to draw games, scored 18, given up 18. Can't make heads or tails of them. There's like four or five teams in the middle of the pack in the Premier League that I'm kind of in the same boat with. That's definitely Fulham to me. So I don't know. I think Arsenal, they have to continue the momentum that they're on. So parlay minus 170 with City minus 170 gets you to like plus 150. I don't know. I kind of like that.
I like the, again, another game parlay of Arsenal money line and over 1.5. Arsenal last four games scored 3 goals, 5 goals, 5 goals, and then 2 goals against United today. I think that's a good indication that now that Odegaard is back, their attack is clicking. I think they easily get a couple goals in this one. Their team total over 1.5 is minus 170, if that's any indication of where gross. Books see this. So, yeah, I think Arsenal get another pretty easy win against Fulham. Point taken, Nick. Fulham kind of shows up here and there, but I don't think this is one where they show up, and Arsenal will get a couple. So minus 120 is not terrible for what you're going to get out of this match.
No.
Yeah, I like it. I think you're thinking you get two from Arsenal. I think you got to get the value there.
Over 2.75, I don't hate it either.
Yeah.
Minus 120. Just throwing out an alternative. Reminder, you don't have to bet this game. It's just nothing I love, but I would throw them in a money line parlay.
All right. Leicester hosting Brighton. New coach Van Nistelrooy hosting Brighton.
Dude, I mean, Leicester looked pretty good. I mean, scoring
Leicester
goals.
Home. Leicester at home. They're no easy out.
I'm inclined to take Leicester in this. And let's see, on the spread, their plus one is minus 135. They're going to get goals. Yep. They're going to get goals in this. So, I don't know if you really want to take a Brighton to get 3 goals here. That's really where I would think that would be the breaking point for a Leicester plus one. Would have to be Brighton 3 at least.
Yep.
Yeah. And not a bad play. Playing at home, they get a goal, puts the pressure for them to score 3. Yeah. All right.
Next, want to do a sprinkle? That. Want to do a sprinkle on over 1.5 at plus 185 team total for Leicester? You could do that too.
That's not enough. Not enough to get me there.
Plus 185?
Nope.
That's not enough.
Nope.
Dude, I don't know, man.
Got to be in the twos. 230, 240. I'm there.
All right.
Ipswich hosting Bournemouth.
I got nothing on this one. I've been on the wrong side of Ipswich. The only thing I like with Ipswich is Delap. You can probably take him anytime goal scorer. It's going to be a good value, but I'll see what his number is real quick.
Yeah, listen, if you want to back aside, and he's not up take there yet. Bournemouth plus 110. I'm not going to talk you off of it. It's clearly the better side. I don't know.
Yeah, certainly the better side. I think for whatever reason, because Ipswich played Liverpool pretty well in their opening match, I have this like rosier opinion of Ipswich. And when I see them getting this number, I usually, especially at home, I usually back them. But I've just been wrong with them on both ways, probably 3 times in the last month and a half. So I can't get a good handle on them. The only thing I know is Delap, who's their striker, big dude. Gets his head on the ball all the times. He's always good for a shot on target. I think he's, because of Ipswich's relative inefficient offense, it's usually sitting around like minus 110, minus 120. So Delap anytime shot on target is something I'll probably throw in a parlay. I just don't have the lines yet.
Listen, right. Oaks agrees with goals in Leicester. I like that. Oaks agrees with Bournemouth money line. I feel great. I don't need to go any further.
All right. And
big one.
Oaks agrees that Leicester's not going goalless.
No, they're getting at least. Yeah. I think we can get two plus 185. Nick, I know you're looking at.
No, I'm not. I don't disagree that they could get two. I just would like the number to be a little bigger. Then I would put more.
That's
money on
every bet I place. I would like the number to be a little bigger.
Sure. All right. The other big one on the weekend is the London Derby on Sunday, 11:30 match. Spurs hosting Chelsea. Spurs plus 165 at home. Chelsea plus 135 on the road. So there's value on both sides, but it's a matter of who do you trust here?
Goals is what I trust here. There's going to be a lot of goals in this. Yeah. I mean, I honestly, over 3.5, I think is playable. Even it's -115. Whew. Both of these teams just score goals in bunches, especially at home for Spurs. They're going to get a couple. Chelsea, they only win games when they're scoring like 3 goals. So I don't know. I would take over 3.5 at -115 here for my main pick. And then you can probably pick any name out of a hat for a goal scorer prop here, and you can talk me into it. I mean, Cole Palmer is the lowest number at +170. That's crazy. Palmer, Solanke at +190. I don't know how much he's going to play. I'm trying to go down some of this list. Brennan Johnson, +260. He's been getting in the second half. Nicholas Jackson, +195. You can talk me into that. Sancho, I don't know if he's going to start, +320. Dude, like, just pick a couple and put a little bit of money on each. You're going to get, like, there's going to be 4 or 5 goals in this. That's what it feels like.
So I'm going to go against my traditional line of thinking, because in a game like this, I would typically take the underdog. But I like Chelsea. Chelsea's flying right now. And I think Tottenham are still a little too inconsistent. They have too many injuries. Their defense is average. So, Scotty, that definitely backs up your line of thinking with goals. Give me a Chelsea draw, no bet, -125. I think that's kind of a silly number for how well they've been playing lately. I think they get it done. I would consider like over 1.5 first half as a, you know, maybe a shout in this one.
Yeah.
All right. Both teams to score at -300. Oh, no, just kidding.
Before we move on from this game, I wanted to sidetrack us a little bit to look at team futures, because I have something here that I find pretty interesting. Yeah. Look. Looking at the top four right now, you have Liverpool out in front by 7 points. Then you have Chelsea, Arsenal slightly behind, 7 points behind them. And then City is kind of lurking off in the distance a little bit. If you look at Chelsea's upcoming schedule, they have cupcakes from now all the way up until January 25th when they play Manchester City. That I fully expect them to rattle off a series of like 7 or so wins after the Spurs game. So if you think they can beat Spurs here, I think there's a very good chance that Chelsea will find themselves at the top of the table by the time they get to that City game on January 25th. Chelsea sitting at +1400 to win the title right now. I don't know that they're going to finish at +1400, but I certainly think they're going to find themselves at the top of the table in like 6 weeks, and you can probably cash that out for a pretty good chunk of money. So something to keep an eye on. It's not necessarily a week-by-week pick, but I think right now is a good time to buy in on a Chelsea future, because their schedule, like, Let me rattle off the let me just pull it up real quick, because I was looking at it today trying to figure out when they're going to drop points.
Bet you were.
It doesn't seem like it's happening anytime. Okay, so here's what they have. They have Spurs on Sunday, then they have Brentford, Everton, Fulham, Ipswich, Palace, Bournemouth, Wolves, all before they play City at the end of January. Where are they dropping points in that list?
I mean, it's a nice run of fixtures, but are you doubting your Liverpool side that much? Is Liverpool dropping enough points for them to take over
it's,
7 points?
It's everybody drops points usually over Christmas break. There's always going to be drop points. You're going to play 3 games in 5 days. You're going to have to rotate. Liverpool are, like I said, they're hitting their injury bug now like everybody else. We saw what happens when City hits their injury bug and and Arsenal hits theirs. I could easily see them dropping 6 points in the next couple of games. You want me to go through the same fixture list between now and January for Liverpool? Because I can do that too.
Yeah, I'm looking at this weekend. Fulham home, Fulham home, Spurs away, Leicester home, West Ham away, United home, and then it's Forest away and Brentford away, and then the 25th.
I mean, Spurs, United, and honestly, even I know you guys don't like me saying it, but even Everton, I could see them dropping points in all of those games. But that's my prediction is, if they're not at the top of the table, they'll be like within 1 or 2 points.
There are far worse bets at worse odds. I will agree with you there. And I see what you're going for.
Yeah.
If the plan is to cash out.
The plan is to cash out. I'm telling you right now, you cash out January 24th. You buy it now. You cash out January 24th. Guaranteed profit. Maybe they're not going to be at like +700 come that time. Yeah. I think it could be, but they're certainly going to be better than +1400. They are +1400 is way too generous for, because the reason why I'm looking at this is I think they're probably Liverpool's biggest threat to win the title right now. I'm not too concerned about City at this point. I think they're going to have more downs in the next month or so before they go on their run. Arsenal, we'll see. They always, the wheels always fall off for them in April anyways. So whatever happens between now and then, it's not super relevant. I think Chelsea, with the way that they're playing and the way that they score and the form that they're in, I mean, they've lost, what, two games all season?
Yeah, I kind of dig it. I mean, so it all comes down to, do they win this weekend's game or not? Like, that's what's going to make or break that bet being profitable. I think if they walk away with 3 points, I'm on board with you 100%. If they don't, you still might make some money, but it's going to be a little bit tougher.
Yep. So, all right. That was my side tangent. I just wanted to take you guys down a potential investment opportunity. And I'll turn it back over to you, Coach.
How many people do we have to get to buy into the investment opportunity?
And it looks like on Odds Checker, the best odds for Chelsea are plus 1,600 on Caesars right now.
Even better. And yeah, even better.
Caesars reward points. So,
yeah.
Well, we have to put a note down. Let's check in January 1st. Once we get through the busy Christmas period, we'll do a quick check. And my guess is that Chelsea will be at around plus 800 or so by then. That would be my guess.
Now, to cash out a future like that, what are you looking at if they say they are within a point or two of Liverpool? Like, what do you think you're getting for, like, we'll just say $10, make it a nice round number?
It depends on injuries too, right? Like, if Salah gets hurt at some point, you know, I'm sure that's going to impact things. But let's say everybody's relatively healthy, no major injuries. I would expect Chelsea to be around plus 500 if it's end of January and they're within a point or two of Liverpool, for sure. And that's it also like depends on what Arsenal and City are doing, too. If Arsenal and City are dropping off, even better.
Yeah, I would say if you could 4 or 5 times your money, that's a good cash out on what Scotty's talking about.
Yeah, that'd I think you're probably likely to get 2 to 3x, I think is what you're going to get. Yeah. But
I'm not saying that's what they're going to offer you.
Right.
If you,
I also don't think you're going to lose money. If you sell by January, I don't think you'll lose money. Yeah. Unless Chelsea would have to have an incredible run of terrible form for you to actually go from plus 1,400 to worse between now and the City game. It's an investment opportunity. It's not a bet. It's just an investment opportunity.
It's investment. It's one that you don't want to hang on for too long because then it might start going the wrong way. Right?
Sell before City. Don't let them get to City because that's when all your warts can get exposed, especially when you're playing City end of January. When we'll probably have Zubimendi and some other midfielders like Ederson from Atalanta.
All right.
Just saying.
And the match week wraps up with, I went to the futures now, I lost it, but wasn't the most attractive matchup of the day.
The fucking trash bowl.
West Ham and Wolves. Whose defense is worse? Whose offense can find the back?
But how do you bet an under? Because neither team can score either.
Yeah, you absolutely don't.
Yeah.
How do you bet an over? I mean,
the over 2.5 is minus 160.
Yeah. Goals galore. Maybe this is another teams to score over 2.5. What do you mean who's scoring?
Yeah.
You don't have to. Wolves will score on themselves, Nick. Did you not watch today?
True.
Oh, I did.
who needs to score? I will say, though, Antonio has looked super washed for West Ham the last two weeks.
He's fucking 40 years old.
He's fucking terrible. His touch, it's not even just like his touch is bad. Yeah. His first
it's
touch
time
is like.
It's time for bro to retire on the beach in Jamaica already. I don't even know what he's still doing.
Dude's playing soccer in Timberlands, it looks like. Sorry, so I was going with over 2.5, both teams to score is minus 120. I think that's probably where I go.
Sure.
Yeah, works for me because this is the toilet bowl of the weekend.
Fucking garbage.
Yeah. whose defense is less of a sieve?
Yeah.
All right, that'll wrap the Premier League. We move on to Serie A. A couple attractive matchups in Italy. We'll start at the beginning of the weekend. Inter, huge favorites against Parma. It's actually a Friday match. There's a couple Friday matches this week. Inter, I think, should take care of business here. I don't know if there's a playable angle here, Nick.
Both teams to score, maybe. I think Parma does a good job of scoring goals. I don't know what the number is.
Inter's over 2.5 team totals minus 150. It's untouchable.
Yeah.
What's Parma to get a goal? What's Parma on the spread? I mean,
Parma to get a goal is minus 125.
Yeah. I could look at that.
Parma plus 2 is even money. But I could see this being a 3-0 win. Like, Oak says Parma's only failed to score twice.
Yeah.
These are the match. I don't force anything, though. I don't think I force something in this match just to find
something. I expect some rotation out of Inter in this game. They got to be looking at the Champions League. I don't mind Parma plus two, quite honestly. But I think Parma score minus 125.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm even trying to find like live bet opportunities.
The score, Parma goal from the chat here.
The chat knows ball. Appreciate you guys.
Friday, though, there is the maybe the biggest match of the weekend. It's Atalanta hosting Milan. Atalanta minus 110 at home. Milan plus 265 on the road. If you're asking me what I'm going with here, it's Atalanta minus 110 at home. Money line. Yeah. They're flying. They're absolutely flying right now.
Yeah, that feels right.
Plenty of time before their Champions League match. I don't think they have to look ahead too much because they've got a full weekend of rest.
Yeah, I think that's probably the right read. Is this one where like Milan gets on the board too? Like, do we see like a strong Milan attack in this, or is this one where they just kind of roll over?
No, I think they're starting to figure out their offense under the world's greatest coach from Portugal. But I mean, what do you play that's not juiced? That's the tough one. I mean, I don't know that they get two. I'd be impressed if they did. Atalanta seem to score two in every game. Milan's defense doesn't look that good. But, like, at some point, this team's going to let us down. And I'm just kind of worried game.
Winners of 8 straight, unbeaten 13 straight.
Yeah.
I mean.
I think Milan total corners is set at 3.5. That's fucking disrespectful, to steal a phrase from my good friend Oaks. I don't see a way on the planet Milan don't get to 4 corners. So I would take that bet as a standalone.
How is Atalanta's team total so playable? Over 1.5 is minus 130.
Over 3, over 2.75 at minus 120. I think we could play.
These lines feel weird to me.
It seems too obvious. That's what's really worrying me. Like, this tough game to handicap.
Over 1.5 Atalanta team total at minus 130. Given that money line, they're minus 110. It's crazy.
Oh, this is the first time I've seen goalie save props on DraftKings, Scott.
I've seen some this week. The bigger games are having them.
Okay, yeah, because FanDuel's had it for a while, I've seen, but first time I've seen it on DraftKings. But they don't have goal score lines. They have shot and assist props right now, from what I see, and defense props, but no
And if I'm looking at the chat here,
I'd keep an eye on Rategi's number, too.
We got 3 Milan fans in the chat here, all screaming over, so I think we just got to play it for vibes.
Okay. See, that's fine. I mean, if we're playing over, I'm also taking out a lot of team total over 1.5.
Yeah, I think you could. I think you absolutely could. What's the first half over? Both these teams are good for goals early.
First half over
1.5 plus 145.
Yeah.
Wouldn't mind it. Both teams to score first half plus 250 for a little bit.
Oak says Atalanta money line, both teams to score.
Yeah, I think we're all kind of saying the same thing. Johnny Boy with the CDK love. I like it.
Oh, yeah, revenge game.
Balling out this year. I gotta give it to him. He's really fucking looking good.
He's ready to cook his X side. If you go
just Oaks, like Zaniolo did last week, in case anybody missed it, Zaniolo with the goal.
Atalanta and both teams to score is plus 215, the play Oaks is giving out there. That's a big number.
Atalanta first half goal minus 140. I feel like that hits every fucking game.
We're all saying the same thing. We're just picking different lines that are slightly different hits, you know?
Pick what you like.
Yeah, I'd really like to see the goal scoring numbers, because I'd be really curious what Rategi's getting, because he's been cooking and feels like a match he could score. CDK goal.
My issue with Rategi, though, is he plays only like 60 minutes. Like, it doesn't matter if he scores or not. Gasparini,
he's got to score like in 60. The first hour. Yeah.
Yeah. So when I find a guy like that, I'll play his first half goal.
Right. Yeah. And with Champions League coming up in a few days after that, I'm sure if they are in the lead, Ahmed says stay away from Rategi.
Future Milan player.
There goes my theory. All right, should be an entertaining one. Should be goals. Should be action. I think we're all leaning Atalanta, but wary of maybe lines that seem too obvious here. But
Yeah. Sorry, boys. Still love you all. Appreciate you.
If Atalanta keeps up this run, I think they're a serious threat for the Scudetto at the way things are going. I really agree. I want to ask your opinion because we haven't really brought it up. Like, is this their most legitimate chance, I think, since this run has started under Gasperini to maybe win the Scudetto, being that there's no – the clear favorite isn't playing like the clear favorite this year, like Juve was at the beginning of their run, and then Inter, and, you know, Napoli had that great season. Like, this feels like it could be a year where they make the best run they've made at it so far.
Yeah, I think they have probably the most depth in every position that they've ever had, which – you know, they've always kind of had attacking depth, right? Yeah. Even the years Scalvini's that they came close. Scalvini's
coming back. Scamacca's coming back. Like, the depth is there.
The midfield has looked really, really good. And, like, this is a team that lost three games, right? And they were, like, three bad losses. And they're still right up there.
Hammered by Inter, right? Early in the season.
Absolutely.
4-0. Yeah.
Nothing or something disgusting where I think we were all on Atalanta. We were riding the train and that absolutely derailed at that moment. But since then, they've bounced back incredibly. I'd say they have as good a shot as any. I'm hopeful Scott's pulling up the odds right now, if I know Scott the way I think I do.
Plus 400 on the future.
Plus 400's not terrible. It's looking better than my Milan future at plus 550 that I placed before the season started, so I wouldn't mind that. I think Inter still has technically the best attacking tandem, I guess. I don't know. I could be convinced otherwise.
Yeah, it's tough because
when they're on, they're the best too, but they haven't been.
Yeah. Because Vertegi and Lookman have.
Waiting for like the Napoli spring, not to derail, but I'm waiting for Napoli to slow down a little bit.
They'll derail.
Just because like they don't have that depth that all the rest of these teams have. They don't have the attacking skill. Like Lukaku's
the advantage they have is they don't have to
have like a heart attack on the field at some point, right? Like I don't understand. I don't know.
So yes. Ahmed asked,
to answer your question, Coach, yes. I'm sorry. I'm rambling to agree with you. Yes. Is it the best chance they've ever
had? Ahmed asked, what's their next seven matches? So if we stick to just league matches, it's this one against Milan, Cagliari away, home for Empoli, away to Lazio, home away to Udinese, home for Juve, and home for Napoli.
That's all wins. Straight seven wins. 7-0.
And you mix in the Supercopa there. You mix in the match against Real Madrid in there coming next week. I mean, Real Madrid coming to Bergamo. That's going to be interesting.
If they win five of those games, I feel like they feel really, really good.
Yeah. We're not going to record before the Champions League. What do you think of Atalanta currently listed at plus 170 hosting Real Madrid, who's not in their best run form?
You don't say.
Yeah.
I guess different situation from when they played in the Super Cup, right? Where Real fucking ran all over them in the second half.
And this is in Bergamo, too. So, I mean, this is the biggest game probably ever in that stadium, right?
Are they going to want a little bit of revenge? I could see it. I think they keep it close. I'll say that. I don't think Real, if they win, I don't think they win by two or three.
Vinny's not back, right? He's still limping around.
I will say this Real Madrid run of form right now, the joke you made about Rodri, Scott, being missing for City and how important he's looked, we could say the same about Vinny Jr. for Real Madrid right now. I think they are sorely lacking without him. Mbappe just looks absolutely lost right now.
Which is weird because it's not like Mbappe has been reliant on, you know, great players around him during his stays at PSG and Monaco.
I mean, they had talent. The competition level was just a lot lower. They're talented players.
I mean, he played well in Champions League,
I guess.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting one on Tuesday. It'll be really interesting because they're
I think the real problem is the manager. With each
other now. Yeah,
I mean, Ancelotti out, washed.
Yeah, some are saying.
It'll be interesting. So, let's get back to the Serie A action on the weekend. I just thought talking about a little extra Atalanta would be an appropriate time with the way they're playing. So, Genoa hosting Torino.
Interesting one.
Yeah.
Genoa obviously has been much better with their new coach, Vieira, even though he is running an absolute anti-Balotelli smear propaganda campaign right now. I will not get behind it. I know, Johnny, if you're still watching and if you're still in the chat, you agree. fuck Vieira. Never liked that dude. But he's got them playing well, right? They've picked up points in their last four games. Torino absolutely fucking stink. They fell off a cliff.
No wins. They're the Torino that we always thought that they were. Right?
They're the team that we pretty much thought they were forever and ever. You kind of almost have to back Genoa at home here. I hate to do it, but because it's an ugly game. Like, if there was ever a draw, plus 200, disgusting number. But if there was ever a draw, this could be it. What can we get Genoa draw no bet at? That's probably where I'm leaning. Because Torino fucking stink.
You're looking at minus 145.
Yeah, see, that's gross. Yeah. I don't know. Gross. I'm staying away from this game, but I think Genoa can get some points.
plus 210.
He's been really good. Yeah, he's been really good. He's had a goal in three straight, right? Three straight games. I think he has a goal.
Off the top of my head, I feel like it's something like that.
Yeah. I think Genoa don't get something here. I don't know that it's all three, but I think they get something.
Genoa first half goals plus 120.
Wait, hold on. Under. Where are we at? Where are we at with the under?
Under 2.5?
Yeah.
Let's see. We've got the under is minus 185.
Oh. Gross.
Yeah, I think Genoa's the play here. Like you said, they've been playing better. I was looking to score first because Torino's conceded first in 8 of their last 10, and they've been playing pretty terrible.
Disgusting team.
Where's first goal? First goal, Genoa, minus 115.
And Roma thought it was a good idea to hire their former coach. Just putting that out there.
Just waiting for the first Roma reference today.
Surprised you made it this long. Season of good decisions for Roma. We'll put it that way. Juve hosting Bologna. Juve minus 150. Bologna plus 400. The draw line plus 245.
Disgusting.
Is that the Allianz?
Yeah. I have some hater props for you.
Under? What's the under in this game?
Under is minus 165. What? Just parlay the two unders.
We might have to. I would juice that up. Under three.
I was literally clicking to the spread to see what the under three is.
Thank you.
And they don't even have it available here on DraftKings.
That's how fucking terroristic this game will be. disgusting game. Orsolini is probably hurt, so we don't even get to watch Orsolini. Tune into this game?
This is almost like Bologna on the spread parlayed with something else. Like Bologna on the spread plus one minus 165 parlay with something else. Does Juve score two goals in this match?
Highly unlikely.
Very unlikely, right? Here's the next barn burner. Roma hosting Lecce. Roma minus 190 at home, Lecce plus 500. Whoa. Is this finally the match Roma gets right and gets a win?
Roma losers of four straight in the league. Same identical record to Lecce. So I'd just like to throw that out there at 3, 4, and 7.
That's pretty crazy. I mean, Lecce plus a goal is minus 115. Roma's getting two in this?
They have to. If they don't get two in this game, Ranieri might as well retire again.
Might as well call me up.
Don't threaten him with a good time.
Nah, they have to. I told you. I asked you when he was appointed what the upside was to him fucking coming on.
He's the only one that would take the job. I told you, he's the only one that cares about the
No, that's not true, because Nick did say that he would accept if the position was offered to him.
Yeah, but they know Nick's a Lazio fan, and he would just, torpedo the rest of the season.
Yeah.
As opposed to what they're doing right now.
Yeah. Right. There's nothing I can do intentionally to make Roma worse than they fucking are right now.
Roma team total, like you mentioned, they kind of have to score two. It's minus 135.
It's not even fun to play. Yeah. I'm going to sit there and hate watch Roma to get two goals. No, not for minus 135. Yeah.
Nope. What's the under? I told you I don't bet Roma anymore. So
what's the under? Plays. Give me an under. Under's weekend.
The under is minus 130.
I might round robin every under on the fucking board.
Except for the Inter match.
Just for the culture.
The Milan match, right? Yeah.
Every game on the board from Saturday on.
There you go.
Saturday on. Fiorentina hosting Cagliari. Fiorentina minus 220. Cagliari plus 475. Fiorentina's last match obviously was interrupted. The match against Juve with the Bove heart scare. Seems like he's okay, thankfully. But they're minus 220 at home. Did they play Coppa today?
Yeah, they lost.
Against Empoli.
They lost.
Yeah. But Moise Kean scored again.
Sure did. He's crushing. Anytime goal scorer is always in play. They did come back from a goal down twice, so I will give them that. They lost on penalties. Give me a Fiorentina over 2.5 team total. I don't know what the number is. I'm not looking at it, but sight unseen, I think that's worth a little bit of a play in this game.
It's plus 160. You'll take that, but you won't take Leicester over.
Well, I was just gonna pose that out there. Okay. What do we think is more likely? Fiorentina scoring 3 at home to Cagliari or Leicester scoring 2?
I'll tell you what, I like Fiorentina -1 at -130.
So you like,
because they're winning this game. That I don't care. They just have to give me 2 goals and it's an easy win.
Yeah, not losing that. I think they take care of business here.
Yeah. So sure, that's my pick. I'll take Fiorentina with the spread -1. I don't think that's
the thing about Fiorentina that I'm kind of like worried about them from a league standpoint. Like one loss to like a team like this could send them into a tailspin.
The next one. Wow, Verona. Favorites at home hosting Empoli +145, Empoli +205.
Give me the draw line, coach, because that's an eyebrow raiser.
+175.
There it is.
On the draw line. I'd almost rather go draw to a bet Empoli +110. Like,
what's plus a quarter?
Plus a quarter goal. Empoli plus quarter goal is -140.
Nah, gross.
Yeah.
This is a 0-0 or a 1-1 draw.
Under.
Yeah. Those are the two picks.
Another under. The under here is -185. The books agree with you.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Give me the draw.
Yeah.
+175. That's my favorite draw bet of the weekend.
Some barn burners here this weekend. And the next one is Venezia hosting Como.
Disgusting game.
Oof.
Feels like another.
There's no winners here.
Yeah. Another draw.
This is an over game. This is a 2-1 game. 2-1 game.
Okay.
This is an over. 2-1. Yep.
The over in this one is -115. They've got this one pegged as kind of right on the fence. -115 for the over, -120 for the under. Yeah.
This is a relegation 6-pointer. We got to stay true to our line, what we've been saying all year on the show.
It's true.
Both teams got to go for it. Venezia really kind of need a win, quite honestly. Yeah. And I think Como is exactly where I thought they would be. So credit to us on the show for saying that the line on them to get relegated is disrespectful. But could they win this game 2-1? I think they potentially could. So 2-1 game.
Oh, they've got the goalkeeper props for all these matches. Now I got to see if this is just because I'm not logged in my state or if it's available.
No, it's been new. They've been rolling it out. Yeah.
Okay. We've seen a couple takes there. Oaks loves his Busio shot on target. We've got Paz shot on target from a couple of the guys here in the chat. And Oaks with one of his favorite bets, both teams score over 2.5, and this one is +110. So if you think there's goals and both teams are going to get one, +110 is a good value.
Yes.
All right, so a little bit less of a garbage game. This one's actually should be a good one between the two sky blue sides. It's Napoli hosting Lazio. Napoli -125 at home, Lazio +310. Nick, your boy is getting very little respect here from the books. I know Napoli's been good, first place team, but not by a lot. Do you feel disrespected here?
No, I don't. I think it's a weird matchup. So Lazio obviously coming off of a disastrous loss to Parma in the game.
That's right. Parma beat them. I forgot Parma.
Terrible result. They also play tomorrow in the Coppa Italia. Ah. So weird little back-to-back within the span of 4 days. So I don't like that. And Lazio is pretty banged up right now. They got 4 or 5 injuries. And also they have a forward who Oaks will probably tell us to take his shots on target in 2 seconds, who can't seem to fucking score. I think he scored a goal maybe in the first 2 or 3 games of the year and hasn't scored since. I am talking about Tati. He fucking stinks. So I don't know where I see why the lines are where they are. Napoli at home. I completely get it. If Lazio are able to walk away with points in this game, that's a massive, massive win for them. And it's probably a win for the league, quite honestly. I think that just kind of throws everything into disarray. So draw line seems okay here, but seems to me like a really disgusting Conte-Napoli 1-0 win. Maybe a 1-1 draw. I don't know that, unless...
It feels like a Napoli money line, like Oaks is saying, I think.
Yeah.
It feels like it, and it's a close to even money number, which is solid at home. I think if Napoli wins this one, top four starts to feel pretty secure at this point in the season, at least, because then it knocks out the fifth place team, puts a 7-point gap. Juve's sitting there at 26, so they're 6 off of Napoli right now, with the match in hand, I believe. I don't think I don't looks like they had 14 played, but oh no, that was Inter Fiorentina. I'm sorry, that was they were playing Inter that match, not Juve. So Inter is a team with a match in hand. So yeah, feels like right now Napoli, Atalanta, Inter is like not locked in, but they feel like the three that feel.
It would take an awful lot to knock them out of the top three.
Yeah, I agree. That's what it feels like. And it's like Fiorentina, Lazio, Juve, and then kind of Milan hanging around to try to battle for that four spots. It's what it feels like to me right here. So for Lazio, you get a result. That's huge, I think, in the race to stay in the top four. It also keeps Napoli from getting too far away from you. But conversely, I think if you do lose this match, it's between you and Fiorentina and Juve. You got to kind of scrap it out. Maybe Milan comes back into the mix. But yeah, this feels like the weekend with these two head-to-heads that we talked about. Atalanta, Napoli, they both get wins, and they feel really locked in for the top three.
Yeah. And Lazio has an absolutely brutal fucking schedule ahead of them. So, I don't have high hopes.
Yeah, and Oak says, if you make one bet this weekend, it's Napoli minus 115. So
I'd hate to disagree with him.
I have to say, for two big matches, I feel like the home team money line in both these matches is just so playable. It just feels too obvious in both of them.
Yep.
And then the weekend closes out with
under
Monza Udinese. This feels like the draw line's plus 195. It's almost as low as the two win lines for these two teams.
So weekend where we're gonna see six unders, seven unders, and everybody's going to be like, how could people watch this league? I don't understand it. Well, this is what league you guys talk about.
Yeah, this is what Serie A has been for, yeah, right?
Yeah, it's going to be this weekend.
The under here is minus 185.
Ugh.
I mean, you might as well just take like the five that we saw that are like minus 185 and just parlay them for like $5-$10 and see what happens and see if they all hit. And you get like, got to get like a plus 1,000, plus 1,500 payout, right? Like
little round robin, man. It's happening.
Yeah, so that is Serie A this weekend. Not the most robust weekend. A couple of good head-to-heads on what should be, but the rest, really. Ugh.
Yeah, listen, look ahead. We got Champions League again. I feel like we say this every fucking week. It's awesome. I love it. Makes betting these games a little bit more challenging. I would say,
yeah.
Generally speaking, between the three of us, we probably cut our volume down quite a bit because we found more spots to avoid than spots we've liked, but hopefully we gave you guys enough to build something, to put something together. I think we've been pretty damn spot on with our reads, but yeah, just be cautious. Champions League again this week. And it's going to be we're into the make or break time of Champions League. So
yeah, that's what it is too, right? You get teams looking ahead. You want to avoid that. You know,
Coppa Italia midweek. We had the Premier League obviously playing midweek. It just a lot of games. So be careful.
Yeah. Some interesting ones in Champions League too, just to look ahead, and we won't have to cover them right now. But
we're not going to get on before them.
We won't go through every match, but Atalanta, Real Madrid, we talked about. Another big one is PSG's at Salzburg. They need a result there. They're minus 280 on the road. And then Leverkusen's hosting Inter. That should be an interesting one. Leverkusen plus 115 at home, Inter plus 210 on the road. I'm just going to throw some out at you, and you could mention what you want after. Looking, yeah, the Juve City match is Juve plus 300 hosting City minus 110. That's interesting. City
fucking
right?
Money line to the bank.
Dortmund Are hosting Barcelona. Me? Yeah, there's a couple interesting ones mixed in here. Those are the ones.
Milan at Leverkusen. Milan Dono Betis plus 125.
That's not bad.
Oh, excuse me. Inter. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Inter. Yeah.
Which makes it more playable, right?
They've been amazing in Champions League, right? They haven't given up a goal yet.
Yeah. Inter at Leverkusen plus 125. Draw no bet. I feel like that's a really good one.
Yeah.
I like throw the disclaimer out there, Scotty, for Portuguese teams for me. But
Sporting, we don't know. We do not know them.
Sporting plus 110 to Club Bruges seems really fucking solid.
Yeah. Oak says Inter 0-0. I could see it. That's what they did to City on the road, right? Like
they don't give up any goals though.
They don't give up goals. They maybe won't put themselves out there, risk too much. But
Dinamo Celtic over. Love that. I wish Shakhtar was playing at home. Could we like end this fucking war already so they can get their home field advantage back?
What else we got here?
Brest have been good. Well, not to be Micah Richards. Brest have been good. But PSV is getting a pretty juicy number for a team that scores three fucking goals a game.
Plus 125 on the road.
That's all that I like.
Monaco's getting a really big number to Arsenal, too.
Yeah, plus 800. Wow.
That's a Monaco spread number to me.
Oh, man, I think Arsenal are back. They're averaging like 3.5 goals a game right now in their last four.
Yeah, and you know what? To get the handicap, plus 1.5, I don't know if Arsenal doesn't win by 2 at home, you know? So, like, I think it's worth it.
And that's what doesn't make sense to me. Like, these lines are so far. If you're like, telling me Arsenal's plus minus 800,
right. Yeah, how's a team plus 800 and you can't get a plus 2 on them?
Right. If they were plus 2, I would take them. That's exactly my line of thinking, Coach.
Like, I was expecting to see at least a plus 2 up here when I saw plus 800.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, the big gap between the handicap and the money line number.
Yeah, hold on. I'm going to put something really dumb together. Give me a second. DraftKings is so fucking slow. Hold on. You ready? This is going to be absolutely silly. All right. Stuttgart money line at home to Young Boys. Monaco plus 2.5, minus 110.
It's got to be a bigger number.
Like that's the play. Like that's the type of shit I'll look at for these weird games.
It's got to be. I don't know. I'm not betting against Arsenal right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to bet against Arsenal.
Isn't Monaco like in first place or close to it?
In what? In Champions League?
No. Champions League. In France.
In Ligue 1? No, they're third.
I know PSG's first.
Yeah, are they still? They're quite a ways behind PSG. Yeah. They're tied to Marseille for second.
Ah, gross.
And they have lost 3 of their last 5 in the league.
Oh, no shit.
Yep.
All right. Maybe I won't bet that.
Put that one to rest.
That sucks.
All right.
All right. I think it's a good place to end it.
We'll see everybody next week.
Yeah, appreciate
we get some winners this weekend. And
shout out, homies in the chat.
Get your Chelsea future investments in now.
I like it.
We'll check back in a month.
We're clipping that. Clip that.